If anyone love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. Words taken from today's Holy Gospel on this Feast of Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast known as Pentecost. It is also known traditionally in English as Whitsunday, or Whit Sunday, that is, White Sunday, which of course might seem to be quite the misnomer. It is a feast celebrated in red, as the liturgical color red is used in veneration of the Holy Ghost, as it is also for the martyrs. Why then would we ever call it a Sunday in white? It is in fact related to another White Sunday, or a Sunday in Albis, which we celebrated several weeks ago, early on in Eastertide. That was when the catechumens took off their white garments after having worn them all through Easter week. If today is called Whit Sunday or Whitsunday, it is because on this day we find the newly baptized clad in white once more. In ancient times, the Pentecost vigil was also a time to baptize catechumens, and so on this day, even if the liturgy was celebrated in red, they would be clad in white. If we look to its title of Pentecost, we find that this is an ancient feast which was celebrated even by the Jews of the Old Dispensation. For it was celebrated on the 50th day, which is the meaning of the Greek word Pentecoste, from the Passover. 50 days from the coming forth of Egypt, and it commemorated God's giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Having led forth God's people from slavery in Egypt and nourished them with bread from heaven in the desert, Moses ascended Mount Sinai and brought down the law inscribed with the finger of God. Now, the new Moses has led people of all nations out of the slavery of sin through the waters of baptism and nourished them with the true bread that came down from heaven. Now, having ascended the highest heavens, he sends down his Spirit to impart the new law and teach us all truth. Yesterday, on the vigil of Pentecost, as was the case on Holy Saturday, we read of the sacrifice of Isaac, the beloved son of Abraham, whose name, Abraham, means father of many. Abraham's son did not die that day, for another greater sacrifice was to come. And so Abraham could send his eldest servant to find a bride for his son who was to beget a great nation. Now the Father of all has given his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for the redemption of the world. And today he sends forth his Spirit, no mere servant, but that divine person of the same substance as the Father and the Son, who proceeds from them both as from one principle. And he sends him forth to call the bride of his Son. Today is the curse of Babel undone. Ever since they sought to defy God by building the Tower of Babel, men have lived in a world of confused tongues. For before that, we were told that they were all of one tongue and one speech. On this day, tongues of fire descend upon the apostles, and we will find a new tower on earth, one ordained by God, for they will use this gift to transcend all barriers of language and culture to construct this new tower so that all men once more may be of one mind and one heart, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, and this tower would indeed allow men to reach heaven. The church is born. This church of the new dispensation, this mighty tower, is not centered on worship in a single temple in Jerusalem, but it is visible. Man, created in God's image, is body and soul. And our Lord has deigned to confer his grace upon us by means of visible signs. It is the greatest of these visible signs, the Holy Eucharist, which forms the heart of what we call the liturgy, another Greek word which means public service. This holy liturgy, instituted by Christ himself at the Last Supper, would first be celebrated in people's houses, and then in the catacombs upon the tombs of the first martyrs. But when the great persecution was over, Christians would begin to build glorious houses that would be worthy of the real presence. Today's gospel, however, seems at first glance not to consider any of these things. It rather considers another temple, what St. Paul tells us is a temple of the Holy Ghost, the heart of each one of us. Today's gospel already looks toward the conclusion of the octave of Pentecost, when we shall praise, as we do every day of the year, all three divine persons. The church is in jubilation over what our Lord has promised us. If any man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him. We might suppose at first, why are only two persons mentioned, especially on this feast of Pentecost? Why only the Father and the Son? In this passage, as in so many of the Gospel and even in the Old Testament, the Fathers point out, do not ever suppose that the Holy Ghost is not present. After all, he is the one who at every moment is telling us the story. Today, we look toward the fulfillment of those words of St. Paul, which we will hear at the conclusion of the octave of Pentecost. The love of God is poured forth into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us. We have all learned in our catechism of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is that free supernatural gift of God which cleanses our soul from sin and makes us pleasing to him. The theologians also call it habitual grace. Not only has the Son promised to go and prepare a mansion for each of us in his Father's house, habitual grace, which refers to the habitation of the Trinity, yes, habitual grace is that grace by which the Holy Spirit now comes to prepare a mansion for the Father and the Son in each of us. All those who have received the grace of justification become children of God, heirs to heaven with Christ, and temples of the Holy Ghost. By the sanctifying grace that is in us, God dwells in us as in a temple. The adornment of visible temples, which is of such supreme importance and which we have taken such great care to do, here, for instance, in our dear St. Mary's Oratorium, it serves as a reminder of how each of our souls must be adorned to receive God. If the Church insists on the long season of penance before Eastertide, it is because of the greatness of the gift we receive today. The love of God is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. By the coming of the Holy Ghost, we become, in the words of St. Peter, partakers of the divine nature. No more do I live, says the Apostle, but Christ lives in me. What people has a God so close as our God is to us? O ineffable foretaste of eternal life, by the life of God in us, all sin is put to flight, and there remains only the joy of possessing our God and our all, already in great measure, in this vale of tears, before he takes us to himself, where, like our guardian angels, we shall at last look upon his face and behold it in rapturous love forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.